Fiona, thank you so much for your time this morning.
That's fine, Tess.
So I suppose the latest thing that Facebook has got caught up with is this data breach and, sharing personal information with third-party companies. It sounds very serious, but, for someone, I guess, like myself that's not as perhaps knowledgeable about the severity of what's gone on, how serious is this situation?
Oh, it's extraordinarily serious. I mean, the difficulty is we do not know exactly what the implications have been for the way in which people understood information that they were getting through Facebook, how they've been targeted by Cambridge Analytica and any subsidiary companies that it contracted to provide information about the US elections, because this is the primary concern, is ads that are served up to people and also news stories during the US 2016 US elections. We don't know whether any of the material that people saw on Facebook influenced their votes, which is the key issue, and we don't know how it has influenced their political interactions since. So, really, the fact that a third party, beyond a researcher, got access to Facebook's data is an extraordinary breach of trust and corporate, I suppose you could call it. It's a great example of corporate malfeasance, I think.
And so moving on, I guess, I mean, that's just terrifying. I just didn't really know. I just wanted to work out how terrifying that was. Turns out very.
Well, any time that your personal information, for example, things like your religious views, your political views, your relationship status, your friends lists, if other people that you weren't fond of had that information about you and could tailor the news and information you got based on that, and could send you misinformation or disinformation based on that, that is pretty terrifying.
And so Facebook as well, they've announced that they're going to be beginning to fact check articles and photos and things that are shared on the website. How do they even begin to go about this sort of task?
Well, it is actually reasonably straightforward in the process, not in the actual judging. That's the difficult bit. But Facebook identifies the sort of stories it's sending to its fact checker. Actually, let me backtrack. I'll tell you how the fact-checking relationship came about. First up, in December 2016, shortly after the US elections, when everyone was starting to worry about the level of misinformation and disinformation that had been spread online, Facebook get together with about five US news and fact-checking organisations, ABC News, Fact Check, PolitiFact, and Snopes, the hoax site, hoax-busting site. And they ended a partnership, later Associated Press joined in, to do fact checks on news items, so items that would show up in your news feed. I'm hesitating about calling them fake news, because I think that's a really poor way of describing what they are. They are misinformation or disinformation or, you know, potentially propaganda. The fact checkers get sent by Facebook a range of stories that are potentially false. They are identified partly through algorithms, partly by users flagging stories, and partly by Facebook editorial staff. Stories get to the news fact checkers through a partners-only dashboard, and they're ranked according to their popularity, so how much they're being shared across Facebook. And then the partners themselves get to choose which stories they work on. And that is actually the place where it gets really quite difficult, because you've got to work out whether the claims in the article are factually inaccurate, whether they're a mix of accurate and inaccurate, whether they are mostly true, whether they're not actually news, so they might be satire or opinion or polls or something, or whether they're pranks. So some sites allow you to create prank news stories to share. And that is a quite involved story. It might, you know, an involved process, rather. It might mean that you spend an entire day checking a single story. After that, the fact-checkers say, yep, it's false, it's a mixture, it's true, not eligible to judge, or it's a prank, and they send that information back to Facebook via the dashboards. And then Facebook uses those fact-checks to label the stories. So that's the process.
It seems like it's a pretty involved process. One thing I did, you mentioned, I guess, you know, satire and, you know, fake news stories that are supposed to be, you know, prank news stories to be shared around. Do you think that, you know, how is that going to be impacted? Because, you know, I guess sites like, I suppose, the Batuta Advocate is the first one that springs to my mind. People do follow it specifically for satire.
That's right. Well, those sort of stories, a trained journalist or fact-checker would recognise those and just say, this is not eligible, so it won't be flagged because it is satire. I mean, the difficulty is that do all people who are reading satire recognise it as satire? And the answer is no. Some people don't recognise satirical news as satirical news and get misled by it, partly because maybe they're not paying attention to the full message, or maybe they don't know the history of a story and so on. So that's not something that really we can do much about, except to educate people more carefully in what is satire and what is satirical news.
And so I guess the big question at the end of it all is, how is this going to impact people who are just on Facebook scrolling through their newsfeed?
Well, this is the problem. We don't really know.
Oh, good.
Because in a classic Facebook move, it's not providing good, transparent information about the impact of the fact-checking. And this is something that really annoyed fact-checkers last year, and there was quite a kerfuffle about it. I mean, Facebook has said that it's going to try and introduce better means of giving feedback to fact-checkers. But we really don't know what the impact is once the fact-checking goes back to Facebook. They say they will label the story, so they take the kind of judgment call on labelling in the end, regardless of what the fact-checkers have said. They will still show false, or, you know, a mixture of false stories to people in their news feeds. They say they will lower them in the news feeds, but, I mean, they're still appearing. They are appearing next to related articles on the same topic. So Facebook has at least said that, okay, it's going to show anyone who's looking at a false story a series of related true stories. I don't think that's actually very, very useful. I mean, false stories and even incomplete or partially accurate stories really shouldn't be turning up in your newsfeed. So there are a whole series of issues around the way in which Facebook then handles that fact-checking that I think still need to be dealt with.
It's definitely going to be one to watch as we do get some more information. But Fiona, thank you so much for your time this morning.
That's all right, Tess.